Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is Anadhar Swami. I won't be able to give class today, but you can listen to the class here. I hope it works. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay, I'm putting it by the mic, and I hope you hear it. You've got about a half hour, but it's part to start the Goswami lecturing at my festival. It's just impossible for me to speak today, but you can hear the lecture that's here. Hopefully.
Singular. We shouldn't be so small-minded. Singular. Plural. It has to be plural. And Prabhupada said this also. Spiritual masters, plural. Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru, Param Guru. So many very exalted personalities who are able to help us in our practice of bhakti and go further. So when our relationship with our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, when it's appropriate and proper, then it can be transferred to these personalities in Gaurlila. I'm talking about personalities that appeared 500 years ago in Gaurlila. And then it can be transferred to Krishna and his associates. You don't go straight to Krishna and his associates. You go straight to Lord Chaitanya and his associates. It's first the spiritual master, qualified spiritual master, Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, and a mood of service. And we try to develop love. The intrinsic nature of love is that one always has to give. Giving is consequential in this thing called love. You always give. You never stop giving. As soon as you stop giving, the love dries. It evaporates. It diminishes. You always give. It's inherent. It's a consequential part of praying or love, to give. Another point about praying is that you never ask for anything back. You're never bargaining, you're never asking, you're never thinking, you're never demanding, you're never expecting anything back. As soon as you expect something back, it ceases to be praying. It's no longer love. But then you're reverting to some type of business deal. Another two qualities of praying. Giving, always giving. And surplus. Not requesting, not asking, not demanding, not even anticipating. Not even anticipating. I was thinking about this today, and one pastime of Girar Swami just came to my mind. Girar Swami is very devoted servant of Srila Prabhupada, very close to Prabhupada. And Girar Swami was somewhere in, I forget where he was. He was serving in Bombay. And Prabhupada said to Girar Swami, well, you have a choice. You can go to Bombay, you can go to Vrindavan, or you can go to Mayapur. So you can do service in Mayapur, Vrindavan, or Bombay. So Girar Swami just asked this. So Girar Swami is actually anyone who knows him. He's very, very intelligent. So he thought, well, I want to do what Prabhupada wants me to do. Now, this is selfless. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what my guru wants me to do. So he asked Prabhupada, what do you want me to do? Prabhupada said, you make the choice. Bombay, Mayapur, or Vrindavan. So then Girar Swami, he went one step further, and he said, well, Srila Prabhupada, actually, I was thinking of going to Bombay. And then he just looked at Prabhupada to see if there would be an expression or like confirmation, you know, like, yes, that's what I wanted you to do. But nothing. Prabhupada didn't react. So So then Giroswami said, on the other hand, I was thinking perhaps I should go to Mayapur. And then again, he was waiting for Prabhupada to say, good choice. Prabhupada didn't. And then he said, of course, now he was like, there's only one left. I processed the elimination. Of course, I also was thinking, you know, to stay in Vrindavan. Again, Prabhupada, nothing. So, yeah, somebody released the story. But I'm relating the story to show you the mood of self-surrender. You know, not asking, anticipating, or wanting anything back. So there's one of the intrinsic qualities of prema. Rupa Goswami gives a very simple definition of prema, and then a technical one. So the simple one I'll give. Prema is that relationship which never decreases, is never reduced, is never minimized, although there may be sufficient reason for it to be reduced. That indestructible bond of affection is called prema. So there may be sufficient reason for this prema or love that you have towards your lovable object, in this case spiritual master, there may be sufficient reason for it to be diminished, decreased, or reduced, but it's not reduced or decreased. It's this indestructible bond of love, this indestructible bond of affection, which is called prema. So if we apply that in the material world, you can see a man loves a woman loves a man, but then one of them die, you know? And then where is the love gone? We don't remember it from our past life. So you can see immediately how the so-called relationship in this material world of what we call love isn't really love. You know? When the husband dies, generally women live longer than men, and gradually, as the years go by, the love reduces. It reduces. The prema, real prema, the love never reduces, but rather increases. And even if there's sufficient reason for it to reduce, it doesn't. We can see this with the gopis and their relationship with Krishna, and sometimes he tells them, Krishna would do this just to see the love of the gopis. They would come sometimes at night. Krishna would play his flute. And they would, their minds would be anangavadanam, fortified by Cupid. Brajashtriya Krishna Vritam Manasa. Brajashtriya. The damsels of Vrindavan would run towards Krishna because they heard the sound of Krishna's flute. The sound of Krishna's flute entered into their hearts. And it stole their shyness. It stole their chastity. It stole their religiosity because they faced, apparently, housewives. Sometimes Krishna is accused or rather glorified of being the great thief, especially in the month of Damodar. He steals the butter. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives an example. He's really the thief because he steals the sobriety of the gopis. He steals their soberness. He steals their chastity by the sound of his flute, and then he steals their heart. So, this is chapter 29, text 4. Nishami Ditam Taranangavaranam. Krishna plays his flute, and the Brajashtriya, the damsels of Vrindavan, hear that sound. And their minds are attracted and they're bewildered. And then they run to where Krishna is, each unseen by each other, unseen by each other. And their earrings, kinkinam, nipponam, their ankle bells make a tumultuous sound. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gave a figure, 3 billion gopis. You can imagine, you know, 3 billion gopis running towards seeing Krishna. Of course, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, each gopi is not able to see the others. 3 billion. So they run towards Krishna like puppets because their Krishna has stolen their hearts. And when they finally get towards the area where Krishna is, perhaps he's at Bansibat, perhaps he's at Jekadamba, or maybe at Govardhan, Yaduban. Krishna will look at the gopis, some eye-to-eye contact. Then moving, running towards Krishna is called Purvarag. Ratanya Sangimad Purvam Darshan Shravanadi Ja. That love and affection prior to meeting the object of love that arises. So this Purvarag is when you're anticipating. You haven't met the object of your love, of affection. You haven't met, but you're anticipating meeting. Can you imagine? Your spiritual master, you haven't seen him for many years, and he comes to the temple. But you haven't seen him, but you're anticipating. You're going to see him. You're going to hear him speak. It's that anticipation. That's called Purvarag, the feelings of love prior to meeting. You haven't met. Radharani hasn't met Krishna. Krishna hasn't met Radharani. It's prior. Purva. Purva means before. Ratanya Sangima Purvam Darshan. Prior to that Darshan. Darshan means you see. So they have these feelings of Purvarag. One of the qualities of Purvarag is that although every day Radharani is seeing Krishna, Vishakha is seeing Krishna, Lalita, etc. But every day when they think they're seeing for the first time. Can you imagine? For the first time. They're thinking they're seeing for the first time. This is Purvarag. And this is all by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. You know, if you're in constant contact with your spiritual master, or like many of the disciples of Prabhupada, you know, you're in touch with him all the time, then familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes you can get a little bit over-familiar. And I gave an example. You haven't seen your reverential spiritual master for many years, and suddenly you get that opportunity. then it's so fresh. So that's fresh. That's Purvarag. So every time Radharani meets Krishna, she's thinking it's the first time. It's not the first time. It's happened millions and millions and millions of times before. But she's thinking it's the first time. And Krishna's thinking it's the first time I've seen Radharani. So it's always fresh. This is also a characteristic of Anurag. Anurag and Purvarag. So Krishna sees from a distance. The gopis see from a distance. And then Krishna decides, because of his nature, he wants the gopis to sort of come forward and explain themselves a little. Because in the nature of us, when you have a man and you have a woman in the material world, feelings of love first come in a woman. But it's a man who makes the first move. Usually. Of course, now we're in the Kali Yuga. And you get some very aggressive opposite sexes and stuff. But generally, isn't it, in cultured families, feelings of lust, love, first awaken within a woman. Dr. Frankl has clearly explained this. So Purvarag first comes in the Dalai Gopis. Not Krishna, first Gopis. But because they're of womanly nature, they keep it hidden. They keep it inside. They're shy. So Krishna, being the supreme male, he wants to see this. He wants it to come out a little sometimes. So he plays around. So the gopis came to see Krishna, bank of the river Jamuna. And Krishna looks at them in a surprise way. Like, oh, what are you doing here? Huh. Well, anyhow, how are you? You know, like very casual. Because he's putting it on. And gopis, they're not too sure whether Krishna is being serious. Are you playing around? Are you playing jokes? You know? So then they're described in Reunion, chapter 32. Krishna will say something like, oh, I know why you've come. You've come to see the nature, the beautiful trees, the moon shining brightly tonight. You're seeing how it's reflecting on the river Jamuna. It is very beautiful. I agree. Now you should go back. Now you should go home again. So again, the gopis become very despondent. So they're still not sure. And hey, what's Krishna trying to do? He's playing with us. He's playing with us. So then they look down in a sort of feminine way and scratch the ground with their toes, certain ways that ladies can do, but they definitely can't do. And then, you know, Krishna will say, well, look, you know, I mean, I've got to be honest. I mean, I've really got to be truthful. I've got to be brutally truthful. The forest is a dangerous place. You're in a room, young ladies, and you're out here at night, and this is really not appropriate. And there are tigers, and you know, and snakes, and scorpions. I really think you should go back home. You know? So the gopis again, they're not too sure even whether to speak or not. Mm-hmm. So Krishna carries on in this very amorous way. And then finally, some of the gopis, because they're in different groups, see, you know, Swapaksha, Suripaksha, Tatastundi Paksha, four types. See? So you've got four different categories. Some are very keen to speak. Some will not speak because they're too quiet. So Swapaksha, Sarit, Tatastundi Paksha. I won't go into the Sanskrit details, but I'll just carry on with the pastime. So, Surit, Sopaksha. Sopaksha, Lalit, and Vishaka. And they're a little bit haughty. They're a little bit, you know, like Lalita could really give it to Krishna if she wants. She's called Pakara. She can give it to him. Even so much so that sometimes Krishna becomes a little frightened. Sopaksha. Surit would be Shamala. And then the Tusla would be Bhadra. And Vipaksha would be the arch enemy, the anti group. Who's the anti group? Chandravati. Subhya. Padma is to Chandravati as Lalita is to Radharani. They're the anti group. They're the opposite. And some of their qualities are being very spiteful and envious towards Radharani. But remember, they're expansions of Radharani. It's a little Tattva. They're actually expansions of Radharani. So some of the gopis are a little bit more forthright. This wouldn't be Radharani. This would be more like Lalita, Prakara, Brahmabha. She would say, well, Krishna, I mean, thank you. Thank you for giving us such important siksha. Instructions. Your instructions are very important. Actually, you've become like the guru. You've given us good instruction. And as disciples, we should first worship the guru. So please allow us to stay here and worship you because you are our guru. So now turning it around. See? So these different pastimes continue, and they're very wonderful. By the grace of Prabhupada, we have this information in the Krishna book. We don't actually have to go beyond that. And now also by the grace of some of Prabhupada's disciples, Manu Maharaj, etc., Manidhi Maharaj, we have Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Commentary in the Tika. All of this stuff is in the Tikas. It's in the commentaries. It's very wonderful. And Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhagavatam Ki, we have to absorb our intelligence in such thoughts. But at first, of course, we have to become qualified. So that's why I wanted to bring you back to the spiritual master. You have to have a proper, mature relationship with spiritual master, with Karma Guru, based on tattva and based on selfless service. And the residents of Vrindavan, like the gopis, are willing to give anything and everything for the pleasure of Krishna. One of the characteristics of Adi Rudra Mahabhav, the fifth one, is that if the gopis think that they can give Krishna the smallest amount of pleasure, even if they experience the greatest amount of distress, they don't mind. Do you understand that? The gopis are thinking, even if I undergo the greatest distress, if I can give Krishna the smallest pleasure, then I'm completely happy. So now we translate that into, you know, what we're doing, Sarana Bhakti, down here on Anasana Bhakti stage, towards our spiritual master, with the pleasure of the spiritual master. That I will be willing to do anything and everything for the pleasure of my spiritual master, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And then that type of surrender, that type of seva vritti, vritti means attitude, the attitude of service, of selfless service, will qualify us for something higher at a later point. It will qualify it, it gives us entrance into these higher things. But if you want to jump over that service, Vishwandena Guru Seva, the service to the spiritual master, to our Guru Bhaga, to Srila Bhaksidantra and Bhaksidantra Thakur, you just want to jump straight, you know, to Rupa Goswami and Radharani and Krishna. It doesn't work. You're just, this is like, there's some sarati above there. Things aren't quite right. You know, your taste some fruit which is not sap, not ripe. Kacha. It's not right. It's not done in the proper way. So our service to spiritual master, our service to Srila Prabhupada and the parampara, as we see it, you know, Srila Bhaksidanta Bhaktivinoda, has to be in order. It has to be mature. It has to be proper, appropriate. You know, and obviously, you know, Prabhupada's mission is so important to Prabhupada. So therefore, our contribution to Prabhupada's mission, it has to be there. Something, some contribution to Srila Prabhupada's mission. I was thinking, when I saw the devotees chanting, and every morning they were coming past the house, opposite where I was staying, is Purushottama Gaudiya Math. That was established in 1922. 75 years ago, exactly, Srila Bhaksidanta, 1936, he spent the month of Kartik there for 6 weeks. Srila Bhaksidanta lived at Chittagabhata, Purushottama Gaudiya Math, and then he left early December. 3 weeks later, he died. Africa, he went. So I was thinking, because that place is Srila Bhaksidanta's place, it's Viraha, it's his place, that's where he did his bhajan. Let's go downhill. How he would be pleased to see a Sankirtan party, you know, with Germans or Americans or English, Croatians, some Russians. How pleased actually he would be. I think Srila Bhaksidanta would be very pleased. You know, so it's only by the pleasure of these types of personalities that we can qualify ourselves for going into Gaur Leela, and then into Radha and Krishna Leela. There's a natural progression. Yatayita, Yatayita, Pratara, Gauravinde, what is it? Radha Rasadam Guru. Yatayita, Gaura, Pratara, Prabodhananda Saraswati Sakwa. Dive into the Gaur Leela, you surface in the Radha and Krishna Leela. So, first Gaur Leela. Nimrod and Krishna Leela. But even before Gaur Leela, Parampara. Parampara. Srila Prabhupada Bhaksidanta. And those devotees, those followers of Srila Prabhupada who are really serving him selflessly. Disciples, grand disciples, and now we have great grand disciples who are serving him, you know, with feeling. Prabhupada came to give a legacy of love. Spontaneous love, actually, to tell you the truth. Spontaneous love. A legacy of law, a legacy of love. He came to give the legacy of love, Of course, in an institution, we need laws rather than just systematic preaching. Systematic preaching, not just, you know, haphazard preaching, systematic. So many laws are there, etc., and LGBC are meeting shortly and increasing the numbers of laws or whatever it is. So that has to be there also. That has to be there. In order to get the legacy of love, you know, the legacy of law also has to be there. Institution, it has to be there. But the real gift of the Acharyas, Prabhupada, is a legacy of love. And these Acharyas, like Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta, and Bhaktivinoda, they're not frozen in some past dimension. It's not like they're frozen in time. Like I was thinking, 75 years ago, Bhaktivedanta was walking up and down that pathway in Purushottama Gaudiya Math, chanting. And I was doing the same thing today. You know, in spiritual conception, time is irrelevant. 75 years ago has nothing to do with it. So the legacy of the love. Legacy of love, legacy of law. The spirit of the law. Isn't it the spirit of the law? And the letter of the law. So there's legacy of love. As all Lord Chaitanya came to give. Bhagama Bhakti Loki Pacharan. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, chapter 1, text 4. Chapter 4, text 16. Raga ma bhakti loke pachuran. English. Raga, love. Mark, path. Raga ma. Loke, the world. Pacha, to preach. And this is actually Srila Prabhupada's gift to us. And we should appreciate it, and we should be grateful. And grateful means we should try to serve his mission and serve those who are serving his mission. The definition of grateful. Anyone like to ponder a guess? Gratefulness is one of Lord Krishna's 64 qualities. So Rupa Goswami is given a definition of gratefulness. Kritavya. What is it? A person who always remembers someone else's benevolent activities. To always remember a person's benevolent activities and never forget it. So, Krishna is the supremely benevolent person. So, Prabhupada and many others have helped us on our path of bhakti. We should always be grateful to them. Kritagya, grateful. Grateful to those who have assisted us to practice of bhakti. If Prabhupada hadn't created this ISKCON institution, then how would we have practiced? Where would we be? So we must always be grateful, have that grateful disposition towards Prabhupada, his contribution, and those who are serving Prabhupada. Then when that is mature, you know, we can have some affection towards Srila Bhaktivedanta, and then towards Bhaktivinoda, in a very natural way, including Prabhupada. It's not like we forget Prabhupada at all, but he's included. It's like Shraddha is included in the Nathanavritti. Shraddha is included in Ruchi and Ashakti. And then we have it towards the Krishna Chakrabarti Thakur. It's like the bridge between the Goswamis and Bhaktivinoda. Then the six Goswamis, in particular Rupa and Raghunath. And Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Never minimizing the other members of the Panchatattva. That's like the chicken philosophy. You know, you like the head and not the other side. And then towards Radha and Krishna. It's in a very natural, progressive way. Then towards Radha and Krishna. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kaupanandi I guess I should ask you some questions.
Yeah.
You can take the microphone.
It's like kind of similar to kind of like, I think
I'm not asking.
You're speaking about love and love for Krishna, and it seems very much that it's a feeling. This love is a feeling, but sometimes there may not be that feeling. You know, the heart doesn't really move. So is there other expression of love, even if the feeling's not there?
Yeah, well, you just explained Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti means with your intelligence, you know you should bow down, you know you should serve. You may feel like it, you may not feel like it, but you override that with your intelligence and you do what you know you have to do, according to Shastra, etc. You have to chant 16 rounds every day. You know you have to do it because you took a vow. So you do it, but you don't always have taste. It's not always spontaneous. It's not always flowing out of the mouth. Often we do our 16 rounds, put the beat bag down and go, wow, great. Now I can, we don't say it, but we can think, or now I can really do what I want to do. But there will come a time, and you obviously experienced it, you know, when it becomes more spontaneous. And some rounds are really sweet, and sometimes you don't want to put your beat back down. You actually continue, and you just continue, but that's quite rare. But it does happen. So gradually, as we practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, rules and regulations, something spontaneous will start to come. It will start to come. But in the absence of that spontaneity, which is very individualistic and very rare and very high, with the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which should never be minimized, never neglected, and it's a wonderful thing. So we have that to protect us. In the morning, you know, you don't jump out of bed and, you know, you're full of, you're feeling so wonderful. And immediately Krishna's names come to your lips. You usually drag yourself out of bed. It's quite a painful experience. You know? So we're practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And the acharyas have emphasized this, and we have to do this. But in the course of time, with the right association, this will begin to... What happens actually is, to begin with, there's always some spontaneity involved. For instance, in Kirtan, you see us dance. So maybe 95% Vaidhi, 5% spontaneous, if you like. And then gradually, with the right association and the right practice, especially when you start developing greed, then maybe 90% Vaidhi and 10% Raghunaga. And then after another 5 or 10 years of practicing, maybe it's in mercy, 85% Vaidhi, 15% Raghunuga. And carries on like that. But because we're living in this material body, and because we want to set the right example, there will always be the rules and regulations. When Prabhupada came in 1975 to South Africa, and he came before the deities, I was the pujari, he offered his obeisances. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But if Prabhupada is thinking, you know, of his relationship, they don't do that type of stuff, actually, in Vrindavan. I mean, you know, the cowboy boys don't offer that. Sudama and Sridharma and Mother Mongol, when you see Krishna in the morning, you know, they don't offer their obeisances. The gopis don't do their dandavats, you know, on the side of the Chimuna River, And it's not like that, you know, they look at him from the corner of their eye, you know. So, as long as we're in this material world, we have to practice and show by example. If Prabhupada came and saw the deities and didn't offer his obeisances, we would start doing the same. Now, he could get away with it, but we couldn't. So he set the example. So there will always be, as long as we're in this material world and we have to preach, there will always be this aspect of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which we have to appreciate and appropriately practice. the percentage of loving media to Vaidhisattva Bhakti can also change. Do you want to add something to that? Any other questions? Come over and get the mic.
Thanks so much. In the beginning, you were mentioning how each of us has a seat, particular seat of relationship with Krishna, and how this actually cannot be changing. But I also heard in the classes, but unfortunately I can't give references from Shastra, that there is possible also promotion from Vaikuntha to Goloka in relationships, or is this true, or just my speculation? Thank you.
I've never heard. Did you say that, Krishna praying? What is it? Sadhu Kaba? Shravanavi Sudhachit. Muchisudhachit Bhavasya. Eternally we have it. Eternally we have it. Can't change it. Can't swap it. It was like marbles, you know, you swap it. You have it, and that's it. And for you, that is the perfection of life. If you're a resident of Vaikuntha, you are not interested in going to Vrindavan. You're not interested. You know, Uddhava was completely happy in his relationship in Dasyaras. Uddhava was a servant. Four types of servants. Anugraha, Asrita, Parishad, and Uddhava. He was Parishad. He was servant. Four types of Dasyaras. So Uddhava was firmly fixed in Dasyaras. Of course, he was also a little bit friend, but his constitutional position was Dasyaras. It's tinged a little friendship that his constitution was Dasya. But that didn't stop him coming to Vrindavan and glorifying the gopis, that he didn't want their ras, which is Madhurya. He didn't want it. He's dangerous. And Bogi Chamai, Tata, Bhavit Chamai, two types. He didn't want either. Completely happy in Dasya ras. But he appreciated the affection, the intensity of love that the gopis had, and therefore said that we become a shrub, that we become a creeper, so that dust falls on my head. So there's an example. Buddha in Dasyaras, completely happy, doesn't want to change it. But he appreciates those in, objectively speaking, higher rasas. Higher rasas means only stand back and look at it. But for Buddha, Dasya is his ras, that is his highest ras. So this changing the ras is not Elisabanta. But there is something I can mention, and this has been explained in Jiva Dharma, and this is a relationship to Shantaras. So there's such a thing called Swacharati. So Swacharati means transparent. Swacharati means a human being has announced and has clearly understood their relationship with Krishna. And they take birth in Vastu-city, and they start singing to the cowherd boys, and they think, wow, this is wonderful. Cowherd boys, such a lust, playing with Krishna, playing Bunda, wow, climbing on his back, this is really wonderful. And then they notice Krishna goes and climbs in Ravinsoda's lap, and then the devotee thinks, wow, this is also wonderful. Mani Asuda, I mean, look at this. She has so much love. And the way Krishna is carrying Ramanuja's shoes. And the way Krishna is crawling around in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and he's naked, except for a little bell that's ringing, you know, on his stomach. You know, how he grabs hold of the calf's tail and is dragged in the mud. It's that Samya Rasa is really good. And then he sees the gopis. And then he's aware a little bit of the pastimes the gopis have with Krishna Madhurya. And he thinks, wow, this is even better. This is even also good. Swacha. Swacha means transparent. Whoever you're with, that's who you empathize with. you see? But that particular devotee hasn't understood that particular state of. That will come out later, and then they'll be attracted. So they may be influenced at a certain stage. It's called swachyavrati. Swachyavrati, transparent. You put a crystal in something blue, and the crystal becomes blue. You put it in a room that is red, it becomes red. So swachya means transparent. So many bhakti, swachyavrati, shanta bhaktis, three types. So this swachya is transparent. So we can't confuse that now. But the fact is, every jiva in this creation has an eternal relationship with Krishna. It's only one of five, cannot change it. And Satna Bhakti is the process to reawaken it. So, Satna Bhakti is the process to reawaken it. Satna Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. So we are gradually reawakening our eternal relationship with Krishna. Sometimes Sadhguru groups do say that you can change it. We don't support that. It's not our line. Yes, Maharaj, you are a gopi. I'm a gopi. That was a question, right? There's so much of age. Go ahead. Dhanadhamaraj question. I don't know what he's talking about. But obviously you can answer your own question, so please go ahead and elucify. I'm not an intellectual giant. I'm sorry. Maybe you explain the question again in English.
Okay, no. I'm not even sure they are.